All right. Open your Bibles tonight to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Some good news. We got the Sunday services recorded, and it did work. However, now we're having some problems getting them uploaded online. So I'm in contact with the guy who does our website to figure out what the scoop is, because things aren't working now like they used to work. So hopefully, Lord willing, he'll get a hold of me in the next 24 hours, and we'll get that get them online. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Look, if you would, as soon as I get there. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look if you would, starting at verse 25. Paul says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. But let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Now, this passage here in Ephesians chapter 4 builds upon what Paul had been saying about the new life in Jesus Christ. Here he's talking to Christians, and he's saying, now that you're saved, you should be acting different, you should be talking different, you should be different than the world. You should be different than what you were before you got saved. And so notice here that at verse 25 he says, "Wherefore," basically that's referring to what he had been saying in the verses 17 through 24, and he had been talking there about putting off the old man in verse 22, the mind being renewed in verse 23, and since the new man has been put on in verse 24, the child of God is expected to live a life that, I mean, where it looks like he's saved, a life where a transformed life. Now, putting off the old man and renewing the mind and putting on the new man are events that took place the moment you got saved. The moment you got saved, you changed. The Bible says you became a new creature in Christ. Now, in some Bibles, that word is creation. But you didn't become a new creation, because if you're a new creation, then that means everything's new. The difference is your body is still the same. Amen? Nothing changed about that. But you are still different. You are a new creature in Christ. And what makes you new? What makes you different than everybody else? Well, you now have a live soul, a live spirit, and you're walking around. So it means you're alive. Amen? Now, before, you had a live body and a live soul, but spiritually you were dead. And so now you're a new creature in Christ. And because you're a new creature in Christ, then, well, you should act like a new creature in Christ. Amen? I mean, you shouldn't act like the old creature if you're a new creature. And so that's really what he's talking about here. And one of the things that he's mentioning here that I want to focus on tonight is that now that you're a new creature in Christ and all things have become new, then certainly that should show up in the way we talk. Amen? I mean, you know, and really, if you think about it, and you start to read about what Paul says here in the book of Ephesians about our speech, it's a shame that we even have to be told this. But because we have this sinful flesh, we have to be reminded that, you know, we need to watch what we say. Okay? Because what we say it goes a long ways. You know, and it's the truth of the matter is this, is, you know, once you send out words, you can never get those words back. You know, once you have a slip of the tongue, you can't get those things back. And so Paul here is talking about the area of our speech should be different now that we're saved. And, you know, really the things that we say and how we say them are an indication of the condition of our heart. When the heart is right, then our words will be right. When the heart is right, when our hearts are right, then certainly things will come out, you know, better than what it did before. But when our hearts are not right with the Lord, then our words will start to reveal that. Okay. Now Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37. You might want to write that down. You don't have to turn there. But he said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37, he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" In other words, he's saying your heart isn't right. Of course you're not going to speak good things. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Remember, he said over there also. He said that a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bring forth good fruit. That's basically the same thing he's saying here, but he's actually pointed to the Pharisees specifically. He says in verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." And so Jesus here was talking about the importance of the heart and how the heart can affect the words. And so with that in mind, I want you to look at what Paul says here in Ephesians 4 about our words. And the first thing he talks about here in verse 25 is about having a lying tongue. A lying tongue. Verse 25, he says, "Wherefore, putting away lying." And again, it's amazing that Paul would have to caution Christians who've been saved, who read their Bible. He cautions them about the sin of lying. And that just goes to show you how wicked the heart is. It's deceitful above all things. And in fact, the Bible tells us that the heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. And because the heart is wicked, sometimes even those who have the best intentions, sometimes they lie, and the thing that really gets me is we like to categorize lying sometimes because we think that some lies are okay and some lies are not okay. But the Bible says that all lying is not okay. But we still want to do that. And, you say, well, why is it so important for us not to lie? Well, because we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And you know what the Holy Spirit of God is called? He is called the Spirit of Truth. So you have the Spirit of Truth in you, but yet you're telling lies. And that's the reason why that such a big emphasis is put on this by Paul. John 15:26 says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even a Spirit of Truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me." So when we lie, we're showing that something isn't exactly right. What I'm trying to say is this, is if you're lying, then you are not doing what the Holy Spirit is wanting you to do, because he is the Spirit of Truth. So if you're lying, you are in direct contradiction to this Holy Spirit within you. You are not yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. You are definitely yielding to the flesh. And when we lie, we give evidence that we have fallen into one of Satan's snares. How do we know that? Because Jesus says, "Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So would you agree that whenever you tell a lie, regardless of what type of lie it may be, you have fallen into one of the devil's snares? You have thought, well, it's okay to do this. Or you've thought, well, this is my only option here is lying. The truth is, there are a lot of people that lie at the drop of a hat. And depending on how much pressure's on, they'll lie even quicker to try to get out of it. A survey was revealed that 91% of those surveyed lied routinely about matters they considered trivial. 36% lie about important matters. 86% surveyed said they lie regularly to parents. Now that's young people. 75% say they lie regularly to friends. 73% say they lie regularly to siblings. These are people that, who knows, maybe when they took the survey, maybe they lied. We don't know. But that's a survey. And, if you think about the common lies that are part of everyday life in our nation today, I'll give you a couple, and just think about these. Now, you don't go feeling guilty. I'm just pointing out some of them, okay? Here are some common lies that you hear in our nation today. The check is in the mail. Amen? You know, when you tell somebody the check is in the mail, the first thing they're going to say is, yeah, right. You know? Why? Because people have lied and said that. I'll start my diet tomorrow. We service what we sell. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Yeah. How about this? Money cheerfully refunded. That's a lie. One size fits all. This offer limited to the first 100 people who call in. I just need 5 minutes of your time. Open wide, it won't hurt a bit. Or let's have lunch sometime. These are just common fibs that are, you hear them quite often in our society. Now, what's funny is you're going to hear one of these probably in the next week, and you'll be like, I heard about that, you're a liar. But, people will try to justify lying by attempting to change its definition sometimes, or maybe renaming it to something else. They'll say things like, well, that wasn't technically a lie. Whenever you got to say that wasn't technically a lie, it was a lie. Okay, that's just a good way of looking at things. But the simple terms is anything that's not full truth is a lie. That's the reason whenever you go to, when you're ever in the court, they ask you, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Do you know why they say that? Because somebody in the past told the truth, but it wasn't the whole truth. And then there was other people that told the truth, but they added some stuff to it that wasn't exactly the truth. So then they had to change it to where, do you promise, and you had to put your hand on the Bible, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Just that promise that they require you to make, that shows you how depraved man is. That they would actually have to do that. Don't you know at one time that they said, here, you promise to tell the truth? Yes, I do. Not anymore. Now you've got to place your hand on a Bible and you've got to promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Why? Because people are liars. Yeah. I mean, that's just, it's just the way things are. And when we exaggerate by adding falsehood, which starts out as truth, then that's a lie. When we embellish stories to make ourselves look better, kind of dress it up a little bit, that's called lying. When we change facts in order to spare somebody's feelings, that's a lie. When we alter truth in any way, it's a lie. When we cheat on our taxes, it's a lie. When kids cheat in school, that's lying. It's lying. When you make promises you know you can't keep, that's lying. When you betray confidence, when you make excuses to cover other failures and shortcomings, when you withhold information in order to mislead or deceive, it's all lying. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. In the list of things that God hates, have you ever read that in Proverbs chapter 6? Here's what it says. Now this is the list. This is God's list of things that he hates. Now, does it make sense to you that if God makes a list of the things he hates, we probably should make sure we're not doing one of those things on that list. Amen? All right, now here's the list. These things, Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Number one, a proud look. Two, a lying tongue. Three, hands that shed innocent blood. Do you realize what that just told you? That just told you that God feels the same way about somebody who tells a lie as he does somebody over here who kills somebody that's innocent. Now think about this. Now, that means that a person that tells a lie is basically in the same category as Cain, according to your Bible. A proud look, lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. Do you realize that there are two out of the seven that are involved in lying in that list? How about that? The only thing that's mentioned twice in a list of seven things that God hated is lying. And of course, he that soweth discord among the brethren finishes up the seven. And so, as believers, we are to be characterized by telling the truth. When we say something, for the sake of Christ, we just tell the truth. You know, and then let the Lord work the thing out. But we are not to lie, because I tell you this, you get caught in a lie and somebody knows you're a Christian, that is hard on that, it's hard on your testimony, folks. And so the one who is the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're indwelled by the Spirit of truth, anything less than the whole truth is a complete lie. And there's nothing, there's no such thing as a little white lie, okay? I understand that, you know, that in the past, you know, when somebody comes in and, you know, or a family member or a spouse that says, what do you think? You know, the truth of the matter is you don't have to give an answer. You don't have to. But for you to give an answer that is not truthful, it's still wrong. Amen? I mean, it's a lie. And so when somebody comes in and they're wearing, you know, like a yellow shirt and a polka-dotted tie, and they say, what do you think? You know, like I had a preacher one time tell me, he says, you know, sometimes, you know, not all children are beautiful when they're born. And so when somebody says, what do you think about the child? They hold up this brand new baby. He said, the safest answer is, that's some baby. Amen. Good answer. At least you don't lie, you know. And so there's no such thing as those as a white lie. As Christians, we should, you know, we should never lie, ever, not even occasionally. And certainly we should never be characterized by lying. There are some Christians that I know who couldn't tell the truth. They wouldn't know the truth. It's slapping them upside the head. But that's just, you know, a Christian shouldn't be like that. It's been quoted, a lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you are forced to tell others to back it up. Stretching the truth won't make it last any longer. Those that think it permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. I suppose that's true. John Wesley once said, I would not tell one lie to save the souls of all the world. When we're caught in a lie, it undermines our credibility. It destroys other people's confidence in us and the things that we say. If we lie to others, they'll know, even though they may never know if we're lying or not, eventually, how many of you understand that eventually the lie is always going to catch up to you? And eventually, it always does. And so, while we're on the subject of lies and truth, let it also be said that just because something is true doesn't mean that it has to be told. Okay? You know, one of the things that'll get you in trouble more than anything else, if you know something about somebody and somebody comes up and says, did you know that about him? Just don't say anything. Because if you say, well, yeah, I knew about him, well, then now all of a sudden you're starting to murmur and you're starting to gossip and everything. You may know things about people, but that doesn't mean you have to tell a soul about it. You know what's the safest thing is just, you know, keep things unsaid sometimes, and that'll sure help you out. But, you know, once you start to, I've learned this, the more that a person talks, and even the book of Proverbs tells you this, the more you talk, the more chance of you falling into the devil's snare and saying something you shouldn't say. And, it'll get you. And so we must tell everybody the truth. And if you can't tell the truth without hurting somebody, just don't say anything at all, okay? Find something else to do. Walk away, something, okay? But, the truth of the matter is we are not to lie. Now, some people will even withhold some information in order to help themselves out. In other words, they'll tell part of it, but not all of it. Well, that's if you're going to tell part of the truth and not all of it, you may as well not even tell anything at all, because the bottom line is this: if your intent is to deceive somebody, God's not going to be happy with that. And you know the bottom line is God knows your heart. Now, there have been people said things and they didn't know the whole story. That's not lying. But God knows your heart. And so if you have an intent to deceive, any way that you try to deceive, that's lying. It's a false witness. And so as Christians, we should not ever be caught in lying. We should never let ourselves start to lie. We certainly should never stay in lies. And, we just need to be upfront and honest about everything. But then Paul moves from lying in Ephesians chapter 4 to guarding against something else, and that is guarding against a sharp tongue. A sharp tongue. Ephesians chapter 4, look if you would at verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now, corrupt communication is basically anything that would be considered rotten. You know, you heard somebody say, that's a rotten thing to say about somebody. Well, that's the kind of thing that Christians should never say. We should never have something rotten to say about anybody. Again, if you can't say, you know, when I grew up, my grandmother told me, if you don't have anything good to say, just don't say anything at all. And that is some good advice. You know, the thing about it is, if you can't say anything truthful about a fellow without saying it rotten, then just don't say anything at all. You know, it's better to not let corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And, you know, just as we wouldn't want to eat a rotten apple or a rotten piece of meat, we shouldn't engage in rotten speech. We must guard our tongues against profanity and off-color jokes, stories that could hurt people or that it could offend people. Listen, I understand that today we live in a very fragile society to where people are offended very, very easy. I understand that. And I think that there's nothing wrong with calling a spade a spade. But at the same time, if you don't have to offend somebody, then don't. If you don't have to, then don't. In other words, what I'm saying is this. If you know somebody is going to be offended by something you say, it's better just not to say it. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why is because, number one, if they're a Christian, then you can become a stumbling block to them. By saying things, you say, well, that's just the way I've always said it. Well, you need to think twice before you say it then. You know, remember this, the good rule of thumb is everybody else comes before you. That's Bible teaching. In fact, the Bible teaching is that God comes first, everybody else, and then you. So, the thing of it is sometimes we have a sharp tongue and we don't even realize it. You ever met somebody who it just seems like he's just going to say it the way it is, and, you know, that's just the way it is, and I'm just going to call it the way it is, and I don't care whose feelings it hurts. Well, that's just a horrible way of looking at things. That's not the Christian way. You know, we think that sort of talk is, you know, commendable, but it's not. It's not. When a person says, I'm just going to say it the way it needs to be said, and if it hurts your feelings, oh well. Well, you know, you wouldn't want somebody to do that to you. And so what I'm telling you today is we need to keep that corrupt communication away from our lips as Christians. Remember this, we're representing Jesus Christ, whether we're talking to a Christian, whether we're talking to a lost person, everybody you're talking to, you know, if you say, I am a Christian, then you're saying, I'm following Christ. Now, on the flip side of that, there's nothing wrong with calling sin a sin. In fact, you should. And there's nothing wrong with taking a stand for what that Bible says. You should. But when it comes to other things in life, if it's not important, now the Word of God is important. Taking a stand for the truth is important. Those things are important. In fact, God expects you to do those things. And if that offends somebody, well, you got to please God before you please man. Amen? I mean, God does come first. And Peter taught about that in the book of Acts. But at the same time, if it has something to do that doesn't have to do with Bible, doesn't have to do with truth, then, you know, some things are just better left unsaid. And so we are not to engage in this type of rotten speech or, you know, corrupt communication that could hurt the feelings of other people. You know, when our speech is foul and rotten, and when we're saying things we shouldn't say all the time, it just like lying, it shows where your heart's at. It shows where your heart's at. If you would intentionally hurt somebody and you don't care about how they feel about it, folks, that's just not having the heart that you're supposed to have. And so, you know, we're not to have the sharp tongue. It's been said that a sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. It's a sharp tongue. And we all know that a sharp tongue is sometimes hard to control. Hold your place here and turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Book of James. James chapter 3. And James talks about the danger of having a sharp tongue, a corrupt communication. In James chapter 3, look if you would at verse 1. James says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries and bear olive berries, even a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Now what that's saying is this. They're saying that the tongue is wicked. We need to beware of the things that we say. And there are some people today that will, just like you said there, they'll bless God one moment and over here be cursing the next moment. You know, and I'll tell you something, I see that a lot. I see that a lot where people will talk great about God and, you know, and talk good, talk great about Jesus Christ. And then the very next minute, they're cussing like a sailor. Well, the Bible says that ought not be so. Why? Because the same tongue that blessed God is the same one that's over here cussing. And that ought not be so. Tongue's a hard thing to control. And he even tells you this right here in James, that it's hard to control. That you know, constantly, the trouble it causes, and it causes fires and all these different things. Do you realize wars are started by the mouths of men? I mean, you think about that. You think about the things that have been said. You think about this. You ever watch those old clips of World War II? And you saw Adolf Hitler and the things that he was saying, do you realize he got a whole nation to follow him by the words he said? Young people were ready to die for him because of the things he said. Very persuasive. In fact, his tongue was so persuasive that he talked a nation into killing 6 million Jews. That's the tongue. May I tell you that we've all got one of those. We need to be careful. We need to be careful what we say. It causes us all kinds of hurt. It causes other people hurt. It causes problems. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. So through the power of God, it's possible to control the tongue. And when the tongue is brought under control of the Lord, we'll use it in the right manner. And we should. You say, what's the right manner? Well, praying, encouraging other brethren, edifying, witnessing. You see, you can use it for good, but you need to be careful never to use it for evil. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And then he says in verse 29, he says, and back in Ephesians 4:29, he says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." You know what he's saying? He's saying that you can use that tongue for bad, or you could use it for edifying, but because you're Christians, but because you're saved, because you're a new creature, you're supposed to use that tongue for good, for the edifying of the brethren. Building people up, not tearing them down. Encouraging them, not discouraging them. And so we must never use our tongue to tear people down. When we gossip, when we say hurtful things, when we talk bad behind somebody's back, you can't get away with it, folks. You know, if a person talks bad about somebody's behind somebody's back, it won't be long until that person finds out about it. And then you know what you'll have to do? You know what you'll be tempted to do then? Say, I didn't say that. Lie. The very two things he's talking about. That's the way it always happens. And so we are to use it for good. Ephesians 4:29 continues to say, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, the phrase has the idea of being gracious in our speech. You know, this is the way that Jesus spoke to people. In Luke chapter 4, verse 22, it says, and all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? You know, when you think about how Jesus was treated, and, you know, when he was being whipped and everything, the Bible says he didn't say a word. And when he was out there, you know, when he was during that 3.5 years of ministry, and he's out there and he's healing people and he's raising the dead and he's doing all these different things, when you read the Gospels, you'll see that constantly, there were lawyers that were coming up to him trying to trick him. There were Pharisees that came up to him and tried to trip him up. They would ask him about the law and they'd say, is it lawful to do this on the Sabbath day? Just to see what he would say so that way they could get him. And then the Pharisees would come up and they would say something to try to get him. They'd say things like, your disciples don't even wash their hands. Trying to get him. Constantly. Do you realize how he always responded? The only time that you ever saw Jesus get angry was when they were inside the temple and they were selling things and he got mad because they were using the temple to make profit. That's the only time he ever got mad. But I wonder sometimes if it had been us and those lawyers had come at us and said those things to try to trip us up and the Pharisees came to us and said those things to try to trip us up, I wonder how we would have responded. Jesus gave a great example. He responded with grace every single time. Now, I'm not telling you that it's going to be easy when somebody comes up and tries to get you. You know, there are some people that try to get your goat just because it's just fun to do. I will tell you on a personal level, that's one of my pet peeves. It's one of the things I just don't like. When somebody will know that you don't like something and they'll do it to you anyway. I'll give you an example of something that happened. Now, I look back and it was all a joke, but I didn't really like it. Everybody knows I don't like root beer. And this past birthday, I had somebody in this church who gave me a six-pack of root beer. And it was funny. I didn't drink it, so I gave it away. I was able to use it for good. Gave it to somebody else. But I remember at one time here years ago, I was sitting there, and we were having like a church get-together. I think it was like a New Year's. We were going to pray on the New Year's Eve, praying the New Year's, and we're all sitting there and we're playing games and we're drinking pop and we're eating potato chips and everything. And this one kid came up and he said, Pastor, you want me to get you another Coke? I said, yes, that'd be very nice. And so he brought, sit there and everything, and I'm sitting there drinking, you know, playing the game, and I reach over to drink it and I swigged that thing and it was root beer. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, and of course, I mean, it was a joke. But see, they did something that they knew that I didn't like. Just try to get my goat. But you probably went through some times where when there is something that somebody knows that you don't like and they'll do it anyway just to see your reaction. In other words, they kind of just pry a little bit. You know, that's something we ought not do, folks. We ought not do that. Why? Because you don't like it when somebody does it to you. Amen? Now, those Pharisees, when they came to Jesus, they were constantly just trying to get him to mess up, trying to get him mad. Trying to get him to say something that wasn't according to the law or to say something that wasn't according to the religious standards. They tried to constantly get him, but he always responded with grace. Always responded with grace. And so when somebody tries to get you or when somebody does something or somebody has a bad day or somebody, you know, snaps at you, you do have the option of snapping back. But that usually doesn't work out very well, does it? Your other option is this, respond with grace. And I will tell you this, if you respond with grace, that'll go further in resolving the situation than anything else. And I'll tell you the reason why. Because if I snap at somebody, and that person snaps back at me, then I pretty much justified myself in snapping them in the first place. Okay, so we can go back and forth. But if I snap at somebody and that person responds back with me with grace, you know what it's going to make me feel like? About that small. And first thing I'm going to say is, maybe I shouldn't have said that. You know? Why? If you're always going to be better doing it the Lord's way. And so what do? Rather than snapping back and having this corrupt communication coming back out of our mouth, and, you know, he said this to me, so it hurt me, so I'm going to try to hurt him twice as bad. Rather than doing that, if you respond with grace the way the Lord did, the way Paul is telling us to do, if you respond with grace, that is going to work things out better, and it's going to save your testimony. It's going to show that you're a new creature, that you're not who you used to be. Now, I'll tell you this. For a long time, I had a pretty hot temper. I mean, it was really hot. You know? And I still have problems with it from time to time. But, you know, the Lord's grace, we can always overcome that. But, you know, I can tell you this. Every time I ever snapped at anybody when I was really mad, I always regretted it. I always did. I wished I had responded grace every single time. But I'll tell you this. We are human, but that's no excuse. We are to yield to the Holy Spirit of God within us, not to our flesh. Your flesh is going to want to lash out. Your flesh is going to want to retaliate. With the same type of bitterness that came to you, you want to retaliate back. That's what you're going to feel. But this is where you have the opportunity to say, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to respond with grace. And I'm not going to let my tongue go crazy here and say something that I'm sorry for saying. I'll tell you this, folks. You ought never say anything that you're going to regret. You should never say something you're going to regret. And I'll tell you this, if you say something nasty, you will regret it one day. You will. And so we are to not let this corrupt communication come out of our mouth. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The whole idea here is that our words are being influenced by the grace of God. We should be gracious to everybody we meet along the way. If you witness to somebody and they get nasty with you, show them grace. If another Christian comes at you, show them grace. Our words to others should be constructed in a manner that benefits other people. And our speech should build up and never tear people down. Because when we use our words in the wrong manner, it grieves the Holy Spirit of God. That's the reason why in Ephesians 4:30, there he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Every time that you open your mouth and you allow something wicked to come out of your mouth, or corrupt communication come out of your mouth, or a lie to come out of your mouth, you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. Why? He's the Spirit of truth. It was by grace that you're saved through faith. And so it goes against everything that a Christian is supposed to be, to have that corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. And so, even the book of James, in James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. In other words, when somebody sees you or hears you say something you shouldn't say, or hears you lie when you tell a lie or catches you in a lie, you know what it shows them? That what you say you believe is in vain. And they'll say, yep, he's just like all the others. Them Christians, why they even have a Christian to be known as a liar, that is the most despicable thing I can think of. I mean, think about that. For somebody to say, yeah, that guy's if you walk up and say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't lie, and they was like, yeah, sure. This guy over here, he said he's a Christian too, and he lies all the time. It says, deceive his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. On a hill in an English country churchyard stands a great gray slate tombstone which bears this epitaph. It says, beneath this stone, a lump of clay, lies Arabella Young, who on the 24th of May began to hold her tongue. Now, that's actually a tombstone. You know, what a way to be remembered. Think about that. Every time somebody goes to that graveyard, they're going to see that. I wouldn't want to be remembered like that. I wouldn't want to be remembered like that. If we have been saved by the grace of God and transformed by the Holy Spirit of God, if we are indeed new creatures in Christ, then the things that we say and the things that we don't say should show that. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and stop there.